Okay, imagine this. You step into your local grocery store, but the aisles feel a little emptier maybe. Some departments might be closed off. And there's just this definite tension in the air. You kind of sense something's going on, but what's really happening behind the scenes? Well, you basically just walked right into the heart of our deep dives today. We're going to unpack the recent Safeway worker strike. It's been happening in Pueblo and other parts of Colorado, kicked off back in June 2025. Now, our insights, they're drawn from some detailed reports and analyses of this whole unfolding situation. And our mission today, it's really to cut through the noise. We want to understand the core issues, the strategic plays, and, what it all means for both the workers involved and, well, the whole retail industry at large. This deep dive, it aims to give you a really clear, comprehensive picture of why this is happening and, frankly, why it matters to you. So let's get into it. What truly ignited this pretty significant labor action?
Well, the real flashpoint, the thing that really set it off, was the explanation of a collective bargaining agreement.
Okay, the CBA.
Exactly. You can think of it as the main contract between the union and the company. It outlines, everything from pay scales, benefits, scheduling rules, all that stuff.
The rule book, basically.
Pretty much. And this specific agreement, it was between Safeway's parent company, Albertsons, and UFCW Local 7.
UFCW.
United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 7. They're one of the biggest unions for grocery workers, representing thousands right here in Colorado.
Right, so a major player.
Definitely. And while the contract had technically expired months before, they'd actually extended it temporarily.
Ah, to keep negotiating.
Yeah, hoping to reach a deal. But clearly that extension period didn't resolve the underlying tension. Things just didn't get worked out.
So it sounds like it wasn't just a simple contract expiring. It was more like a boiling point had been reached.
That's a good way to put it.
What were those specific deep-seated grievances, the things that had been building up and really pushed these workers to take such a big step?
Yeah, there were several specific things the workers kept bringing up, things that had just become intolerable for them. They talked about low wages, first off, just not keeping pace with the soaring cost of living we've all seen.
Which is hitting everyone, yeah.
Absolutely. Then there were these increasingly erratic scheduling practices, made it incredibly difficult for people to plan their lives, childcare, second jobs, appointments.
Total nightmare.
Exactly. And a really big one was what they described as dangerously low staffing levels.
Dangerously low.
That's the term they used. Union reps were saying that many Safeway stores were operating with skeleton crews, they called them.
Wow.
Yeah, forcing employees to basically take on multiple roles during just one shift.
So doing the job of two or three people.
That's what it sounds like. And this wasn't just, inconvenient. It massively increased physical strain, mental stress for the workers. And of course, you could see that impact directly on customer service too.
Makes sense. You can't do everything well.
Right. So from the union's point of view, the UFCW Local 7 leadership, they argued Albertsons' proposals in the negotiations. They just completely failed to address these core
They
problems.
weren't meeting the moment, basically.
That's how the union saw it. They felt the company was offering only marginal wage increases, little bumps. And critically, they also alleged Albertsons was seeking to scale back certain employee benefits.
Ouch. So less pay relatively and potentially fewer
That
benefits.
was the perception, yeah. The union saw it as a clear attempt to maximize profits, directly at the expense of the workers' well-being.
Okay, so with those grievances really boiling over,
Yeah.
how did the union actually start this? Because
Right.
you said it wasn't an all-at-once shutdown, right?
That's right.
So there must have been a very deliberate strategy behind those first moves.
Oh, definitely. It wasn't a sudden full-scale walkout everywhere. The first big wave of picketing that started on June 15th,
Yeah.
but it was targeted.
Where'd they hit first?
It hit Pueblo and several other key spots across Colorado, Grand Junction, Estes Park, Littleton.
Okay, spreading it out.
Spreading it out, but also hitting strategic points. And crucially, workers at the Denver Distribution Center also joined in.
Ah, the distribution center, that's big.
Huge. When you impact a distribution center like that, you're directly hitting the company's supply chain for the whole region.
Right, that's not random.
Not at all. Highly strategic move.
And this brings us right to this idea of the rolling strike model, doesn't it?
Exactly.
What makes that specific tactic so potent for unions
Yeah.
compared to just, everyone walking out immediately everywhere?
Well, it's a very calculated approach. The rolling strike model, it's a deliberate union tactic. It's designed to, well, gauge support first off, see who's really committed,
Yeah.
It also helps attract public attention, kind of builds the story, and it lets them apply pressure on those key logistical nodes, like the distribution center, all without taking on the full financial burden of a complete, immediate, indefinite shutdown for everyone.
Right. It's like turning at the heat gradually, but in the spots that hurt most.
Precisely. It allows them to escalate strategically, build momentum, and really test the company's resilience bit by bit.
I can just picture the atmosphere on those first picket lines. What was the worker sentiment like from the reports you've seen?
Well, reports said the atmosphere was generally peaceful, but definitely deeply emotionally charged.
Well, it's understandable.
Yeah, you saw employees out there holding signs like, fair wages now, staff our stores, pretty clear messages. And many workers were openly talking to reporters, talking amongst themselves, about being forced into extended hours with hardly any notice.
Wow.
About frequently skipping breaks just to keep things afloat, or, you know, taking on tasks way outside their normal job descriptions just to keep the store functioning at all.
Just real frustration.
Palpable frustration, yeah. It was clear this had been building for a long time.
And it clearly didn't stay contained just to those initial locations for long. We saw this thing escalate pretty quickly, didn't we?
Absolutely. Within just a few days, more Safeway locations joined the walkout. It showed this remarkable unity.
Where else did it spread?
We saw multiple stores in Colorado Springs join in, Boulder, Castle Rock, and also the Pueblo West area.
So it was really gaining traction.
Definitely. The participation numbers just swelled. And it was fueled by this widespread support among the union members themselves. The data we saw showed that in many of these stores, the strike authorization votes passed with over 95% approval.
Only 85%. That's huge.
It's massive. It reflects a remarkably high degree of unity among the workers, which is absolutely crucial if you want to sustain a strike action like this.
Okay, so faced with this coordinated growing walkout, how did Albertsons, Safeway's parent company, actually respond? What was their play?
That's a big question, right? How does the company react?
Yeah, they certainly had to address it publicly. What was their initial message? How did they frame it?
Well, Albertsons put out a series of public statements. They emphasized their commitment to resolving the dispute through continued negotiations. Standard line, really.
Right. We're talking.
Exactly. They maintained they had presented what they called a fair contract offer. They said it included competitive wages and benefits, basically arguing it was in line with industry standards.
Did they address the union's specific complaints like benefit cuts or staffing?
They did. Company spokespeople explicitly denied the claims that they were seeking to cut benefits or reduce staffing further. And they tried to frame the strike itself as a, quote, disruptive tactic that was orchestrated by union leaders.
Shifting the blame, essentially.
Kind of, yeah. And they insisted that most stores would remain open and operational throughout the stoppage, trying to project this image of, you know, business as usual. We can handle this.
But the reality on the ground for customers and the remaining employees, that was maybe a bit different.
It seems so.
What was the actual operational impact people were experiencing?
Yeah, despite those public statements, the company's efforts to minimize the strike's impact, they were tested pretty quickly. Many stores definitely experienced what were called temporary service disruptions.
With what kind of disruptions?
Things like some departments, maybe the deli or the bakery, being closed altogether just because there wasn't enough staff.
Okay, so noticeable cuts.
Definitely noticeable. And pharmacy services, that was a big one. They were significantly strained in many places. Customers reported long wait times, reduced access to pharmacists.
Which is critical for people needing medication.
Absolutely critical. So that caused a lot of concern.
So how did Safeway try to plug those immediate staffing holes? What was their next move operationally?
Well, their main response was to start recruiting temporary workers, trying to fill the gaps left by the striking employees.
Temp workers. How did the union react to that?
Not well, as you can imagine. That move drew really sharp criticism from the union. They accused the company of undermining the bargaining process by bringing in replacements, basically saying it prolonged the conflict.
Makes sense from their perspective. Did the temp workers actually solve the problem, though? What did customers think?
It seemed to be a mixed bag at best. Some customers definitely expressed frustration online. They were noting that their shopping experiences had declined significantly since the strike began. Which kind of indicates that these temporary solutions, well, they weren't fully meeting the operational needs or customer expectations. Temps often don't have the same training or store knowledge.
Right. It's not just about having bodies in the store. Okay. So moving beyond just the company and the union, How did the broader public react? Did the workers find allies outside their own ranks?
That's actually a really critical part of the strike's momentum. The workers received quite a bit of vocal support from various external groups as the strike gained attention.
Like who?
We saw local elected officials stepping up, community groups, other labor advocates. You even had several politicians, state lawmakers, city council members actually visiting the picket lines to show solidarity with the Safeway employees.
So visible political support. What about just general public opinion? Did people seem to side with the company or the workers?
It really appeared that public opinion leaned pretty significantly in favor of the striking workers.
Why do you think that was?
Well, what became clear through our research is the sort of the lasting impact of the pandemic on how people view grocery workers.
The whole essential worker narrative.
Exactly. That wasn't forgotten. Many consumers remembered grocery staff playing this absolutely vital role during the worst of COVID-19. And there was a feeling, it seems, that they deserved better compensation and working conditions now.
A sense of fairness, maybe?
I think so. And media coverage often picked up on that. They highlighted the sacrifices these frontline employees made over the past few years and often framed the strike as part of a, quote, broader push for economic justice, not just some isolated contract dispute.
Interesting. So how did the union leverage that public goodwill and all that external support? Did they use it effectively?
Oh, definitely. Union leaders really capitalized on this public sympathy. Smart move. They organized press conferences, they held rallies, they ran extensive social media campaigns, all to amplify their message. And they consistently emphasized that the strike wasn't just about wages. It was about, quote, restoring dignity and fairness to a workforce that had long been undervalued.
Framing it as a moral issue almost.
Exactly. Really trying to strike that chord with the public, and it seemed to work. Now, stepping back for just a moment, it feels important to connect the Safeway strike to the bigger picture. It's pretty clear this isn't just some isolated incident happening in Colorado, is it?
No, it really doesn't feel that way. It seems like we've heard about similar disputes bubbling up elsewhere.
Absolutely. The Safeway strike, it's very much part of a broader pattern of labor unrest we're seeing in the retail and grocery sectors right across the United States.
Not unique to Colorado, then?
Not at all. It's really a nationwide phenomenon we're observing.
Okay, so what are the common threads? What are the driving factors behind this national trend? What's really fueling all these disputes?
You're seeing really consistent issues pop up again and again. Stagnant wages, for one. Pay just hasn't kept pace with the cost of living in many areas.
Right.
Increasing workloads is another big one. Workers feeling stretched thinner and thinner. And critically, corporate consolidation plays a huge role.
Like the big Albertsons-Kroger merger talks we've heard so much about.
Exactly like that. When these massive companies merge, they gain immense market power. And that often translates into less competition for labor, which in turn can mean reduced incentive for companies to offer better wages or benefits.
Fewer choices for workers, less pressure on employers.
That's the fear, yeah. Workers worry this shrinks their bargaining power considerably, and that fear is driving a lot of these disputes.
So this isn't the first time we've seen this kind of pattern with big grocery chains.
Not by a long shot. In just the last few years, other major chains, like Kroger itself, King Soopers, which is also Kroger-owned, they faced really significant labor disputes, too.
Right. I remember the King Soopers strike.
Yeah. Some of those disputes led to similar walkouts, and they're often driven by many of the same factors we're talking about here. The pressure from consolidation, workers feeling undervalued, overworked. It's a recurring theme.
So with this consolidation happening and these conditions persisting, what's the union's response across the industry? How are they fighting back?
Well, unions are definitely trying to adapt. They seem to be stepping up efforts to organize and exert influence. Mm-hmm. They're using strikes and collective bargaining as key tools. They see these moments, these disputes, as crucial opportunities to push back against those larger corporate trends.
Oh, a renewed willingness to take direct action.
It certainly looks that way, a feeling that maybe just negotiating quietly isn't enough anymore in some cases.
Now, this strike, it obviously has immediate impacts on staffing right now. Right. But it also feels like it shines this really powerful spotlight on deeper, maybe more systemic issues around staffing that were there even before the walkout started.
Yeah.
What are the long-term consequences here for Safeway and maybe other retailers watching?
You're absolutely right. In the immediate term, the strike has definitely disrupted normal staffing at the affected stores. No question. You've got many experienced employees off the floor. Store managers are left juggling very limited personnel.
Trying to keep the lights on.
Basically, yeah. They're having to reduce store hours in some cases, prioritize only the most essential services. You see things like we mentioned, bakeries or deli counters just completely closed. That directly hits the customer experience.
And those temporary workers the Safeway brought in, you mentioned, they weren't a perfect fix.
Yeah.
Did that strategy actually help ease the strain, or did it maybe create new problems, like with the union or even just operationally?
The feedback we've seen suggests this really wasn't a silver bullet. Temporary workers, I mean, they often lack the specific training, the familiarity with store systems.
Yeah, they don't know where anything is.
Exactly. They can't perform at the same level as experienced long-term staff right away. Customers definitely notice that difference in service, maybe product availability. And you have to think about morale, too. Among the non-striking employees who might still be there, they're often asked to pick up even more slack, train the temps. It just further strains the existing staff.
So it sounds like the strike isn't just causing staffing issues right now. It's actually highlighting these pre-existing cracks in the whole staffing model that were there all along.
It absolutely is. Longer term, the strike, without a doubt, highlights these systemic staffing issues that really predate the walkout. Safeway, honestly, like a lot of retailers, has struggled to keep adequate staffing levels, especially since the pandemic.
Why is that?
Well, you've got burnout, which is huge, chronically low pay in many cases, those inconsistent schedules we talked about. All these things have driven workers to look for jobs elsewhere, maybe in industries that offer more stability or better pay.
So a leaky bucket situation.
Kind of, yeah. The strike basically just brought all these simmering long-term issues to a very public boil.
Okay, so looking ahead, if Safeway or Albertsons wants to rebuild its workforce after this is resolved and hopefully restore normal operations, what might a future staffing model need to look like? What changes might prevent this kind of conflict down the road?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? If they genuinely hope to rebuild effectively, they'll likely need to make some pretty fundamental changes to their staffing model. This could involve, well, significantly raising wages, for starters.
Addressing that core grievance.
Directly. Offering more full-time positions could be key too, providing more stability for workers. And they'd really need to drastically improve those scheduling practices, make them more predictable, more humane. That could reduce turnover and improve job satisfaction overall.
But those things cost money, right? Higher wages, more full-timers.
They absolutely do increase labor costs in the short term, no doubt about it. But the deeper insight here, perhaps, is that investing in your workforce like that, it could ultimately lead to higher productivity, maybe better customer service in the long run.
Happier workers, better store.
Potentially. It could actually prove to be a worthwhile investment, even from a purely business perspective, not just an ethical one. So where do things stand right now? As of late June, you mentioned negotiations are ongoing.
That's the report, yeah. No agreement reached yet, but talks are expected to resume. What's the general feeling around those negotiations? Is a resolution close?
Well, as you said, negotiations between USCW Local 7 and Safeway are expected to pick back up, but no agreement has been reached as of when we're recording this in late June. The atmosphere, by all accounts, remains pretty tense. How long this strike ultimately lasts will probably depend heavily on whether the company is willing to significantly revise its contract offer.
To really meet those core demands.
Exactly. To truly address the union's main points on wages, benefits, and especially those staffing levels.
So, what are the possible outcomes we could see from here? Are there like a few distinct scenarios on the table?
Yeah, you can sort of picture a few ways this could go. One scenario is a relatively swift resolution. The company maybe comes back with a revised contract, includes meaningful wage increases, real staffing commitments. Workers could be back fairly quickly.
Best case for ending the disruption, maybe.
Possibly. Another scenario, though, is a protracted strike. It could even expand to more locations. That would obviously increase the pressure on Safeway's operations, its public image, but it also deepens the disruption for customers, which has its own risks.
And the third option.
The third is probably some kind of negotiated compromise, you know, the middle ground. It might provide partial wins for both sides, maybe a phased approach to wage increases, some benefit enhancements over time, but maybe not everything the union initially wanted.
A deal that nobody loves, that everybody can live with.
Sometimes that's how these things end, yeah.
And why is the outcome here, this specific strike in Colorado, being watched so closely, not just locally, but you said across the nation?
Because it really is being watched closely by labor organizers, retail analysts, and corporate leaders far beyond Colorado's borders. This strike is serving as a pivotal, case study, you could call it, in the evolving dynamics of retail labor relations across the whole country.
A bellwether, maybe?
Could be. It clearly underscores this growing willingness of frontline workers to take collective action when they feel their concerns just aren't being heard. And the outcome here, whatever it is, could genuinely set a precedent for future disputes.
Wow. Okay, so this deep dive really brings into sharp focus that core tension, doesn't it? You get workers demanding, you know, dignity and fairness. And on the other side, a major company navigating these huge industry changes, consolidation and profit pressures. The outcome of this particular deep dive, this strike right here in Colorado, it feels like it could do more than just reshape Safeway's future locally. It might just set a powerful precedent for how labor disputes play out across the entire retail industry in the years ahead. You know, will it embolden workers elsewhere to demand more, or will it maybe strengthen the resolve of corporations to hold the line? That's definitely a question worth continuing to explore, and it's one that affects you directly, doesn't it? Both as a consumer and maybe as an employee yourself, navigating this increasingly interconnected economy we're all part of,